tonight. And Imirz Hashem, we should be zoche that through our limud haTorah that we were able to rid ourselves of this pandemic. So the obviously what's on the minds of every person, and I mean not only every Jew, but every person in the world. There's no question about it. On the mind of every single person in the world is life, is living. We're all concerned with life. We're taking measures and steps that that we thought only happens in like third world countries, where you have to wear gloves when you're going to the supermarket, and you have to wear a mask when you're going outside to take a walk. Things that are so foreign and alien to us, and now these are measures and steps that we're taking because what's at the forefront for all of us is chayim, is life. Which brings us to a pasuk in this week's parsha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells us what we need to do, even more so than the masks and the gloves, is Ushmartem es chukosai ves mishpotai, that you shall observe my chukim and my mishpatim, and if you do them, v'chai bohem, you shall live through them, ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Now, the obvious question that one has to ask is, How does the Torah have the audacity, the chutzpah, to tell me that if I observe the mitzvos and I keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ordinances and I do them, b'chai b'hem, I will live? How many tzaddikim, how many lomdei Torah, how many yesharim have died over the last month? They were observing the Torah, they were learning Torah and doing mitzvos. So how would the Torah have the audacity to come and tell me that if you keep the Torah, you'll live, when we know that there are many righteous people that die and yet they observe the Torah? So Rashi comes and tells us that when the Torah says v'chai bohem, the Torah is telling us that v'chai bohem means le'olam haba. It means in the world to come. She'im tomar, if you're going to assume ba'olam hazeh, if you're going to assume that the Torah means olam hazeh, ba'halo sofo hu meis, ultimately everyone dies, even the most elderly gentleman will be lucky if he reaches 100. But no one is eternal, no one lives forever. So therefore, it's easy now to reconcile when the Torah tells us, "Ushmartim es chukosai ves mishpatai asher yaseh tzeosa adam v'chai bohem." Says Rashi, it's referring to olam haz, olam haba, and not olam hazeh. This is very difficult, though, to digest. This understanding of the medrash that Rashi brings is very difficult to digest. It's very difficult to understand that the words v'chai bohem are referring to olam haba. When the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Maseches Yuma, teaches us, Shal kol avero Shabbat Torah, that in all of the avero Shabbat Torah, yavar alayim, you should transgress them, v'al yarug, and shouldn't be killed. Meaning, if someone tells you, if you don't drive that car on Shabbos, I am going to kill you, you are supposed to get into that car and drive. Because the Torah says, "Ushmartem es kulkosai ves mishpatai asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai bohem." The Torah says, "V'chai bohem." The Torah is not meant to kill you, but the Torah is meant to keep you alive. So asks Rav Shimon Schwab a fantastic question. On one hand, Rashi quotes the Medrash that tells us that the words "V'chai bohem" mean "Olam haba." The words v'chai bohem are coming to teach us of a world beyond this world, not olam hazeh, not something in the physical realm. And yet the Gemara comes and learns from the words v'chai bohem to mean how one is supposed to engage this world, how one is supposed to live in this world. So asks Reb Schwab, Eich ta'alena ke'echad elu shtei hadrashos. How is it possible to use both of these drushos, both of these explanations, asher lichora, that seemingly niros geofochios, they seem to be two totally different worlds. It's two totally different ideas. V'chai bohem, Rashi quotes the words v'chai bohem, which teach us olam haba. And the Gemara understands the words v'chai bohem mean olam hazeh. Two different ideas, polar opposites, extremes, different worlds. How is it possible that you can use two of these words to mean two totally different ideas? So listen to what Rav Shimon Schwab says, and it's beautiful, it's profound. He says, Kushia zu mushreshes pitos. This question is rooted in a mistake. Shekaasher nisbonein, if one were to do a little investigation, if one were to look a little bit deeper, nira, he will see she'ein chaye ha'olam hazeh v'chaye olam haba shnei hafachim be'etzem. He'll see that olam hazeh and olam haba are not two totally opposite ideas. Ela shneihem olim b'kone echad, but rather they're built and they're rooted in the same kone, the same rod, the same stick. V'hu chayim shel devegas b'habore yisporach, and essentially that kone echad, the b'chai bohem of olam hazeh and the b'chai bohem of olam haba, are two of the same idea, just one is a hemshich, one is a continuation of the next. The overriding idea is that ultimately a person is davuk, a person is connected to the Almighty. A person is connected to the Almighty in Olam Hazeh, and a person is connected to the Almighty, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Haba. V'chol yemos ha'adam, in the entire days of man, in misnayig al pi ha'Torah, if a person were to live by the ways of the Torah, u'memale chovaso, and he fulfills his obligation, his responsibilities, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted in him in this world, harenasem mechubar lakodesh, he's transformed himself and now he connects himself to a state of holiness. Essentially, what he's done is he's made his olam hazeh olam haba. He's made himself a guf that now is transformed into a davar shepidusha, a holy being. The ein bein olam hazeh. And says Rav Shimon Schwab, if a person lives his life understanding that his body is only a kli, is only a utensil to attain spiritual perfection, then indeed there is no distinction, there is no difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, Ela Sheba Olam Hanitzchi. The only difference will be is that when this person dies after 120, the neshama will endure and survive and continue to live in perpetuity. Rav Shimon Schwab had the great schus of meeting the Chavetz Chaim. He was a young boy. The Chavetz Chaim was an elderly man. And the Chavetz Chaim turns to Rav Shimon Schwab. And he says that when you go and receive an aliyah from the Torah, and in the second part, the second bracha, after the reading of the Torah, what is your kavana when you say the words v'chaye olam nata b'sochenu, v'chaye olam nata b'sochenu? We bless Hashem who gave us the Torah of truth and implanted eternal life with us. What asked the Chavetz Chaim to Rav Shimon Schwab? Rav Shimon Schwab was a young boy. The Chavetz Chaim asked him, what is your kavana when you say the words v'chaye olam? Nata bisochenu, he gave us the Torah of truth and implanted eternal life within us. What are your kavanos? Rav Shimon Schwab was filled with fear. He didn't answer the question. He didn't have the courage to answer the question. So the Chavetz Chaim took the liberty to answer the question, but before he answered the question, he asked him another question. He asked Rav Shimon Schwab, where are you going to be in 500 years? Rav Shimon Schwab again was too frightened to answer the question. So the Chavetz Chaim took the liberty and said, you know where I'm going to be? Min Ribono Shalola, I'm going to be with the Eibush, I'm going to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he asked the Rav Shimon Schwab again, the Chavetz Chaim asked, and where are you going to be in 5,000 years? And then where are you going to be in 5 million years? And the Chavetz Chaim responded, Min Ribono Shalola, I'm going to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And said the Chavetz Chaim, that's the kavana, that's the intent, that's the mindset that one has to have when he says the words of Chaye Olam, an eternal life that is implanted within us. Chaye Olam, an eternal world, an eternal life is implanted within us. When we come and we perform mitzvos, and we learn Torah, and we utilize this world as a vehicle to attain spiritual perfection, then what we are doing is we are nata b'solchenu, chaye olam, this eternal world, we are implanting within us. It isn't a stira, it isn't a contradiction. Olam hazeh and olam haba are not a contradiction. There isn't an idea of two different worlds. But rather, it's one world that's divided into two stages. And we begin planting for the second stage, Ba'olam Hazeh, in this world. The only mistake is when a person doesn't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him a neshama in his guf. And the Mesilas Yesharim says the exact words. It's impossible for any thinking person to believe that the purpose of man is the matzavo b'olam hazeh, is for fulfillment in this world. What's chayi olam? What's life in this world? How could a person possibly feel a state of contentment in this world? Yemeshno Seinu, what does a person live? 70 years, 80 years. But how much turbulence, how much suffering in those 70, 80 years does a person endure? Does a person live this world without feeling some type of turbulence, some type of frustration? Every single person feels a tirdus, feels tsar, has nisayon, has a trial, has difficulty, has hardship. And if he's lucky, he'll have hardship for 100 years. If a person is only investing in olam hazeh, he's invested in a life of futility. But continues the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, the Vilna Gaon says about the Mesilas Yesharim that every single word in the Mesilas Yesharim was written Beruach HaKodesh. Every single word, there isn't a word that's extraneous. Every word was calculated and every word was given to him as a divine inspiration from the Almighty. El Briyaso Shel Adam continues in the Mesilas Yesharim, the Briyaso Shel Adam, creation of man is not le'olam hazeh, but le'matzavo b'olam habayi. It's for the purpose of olam haba, the al-kain, and therefore nitna bo neshama zos. He's been given a neshama. He's been given a soul. Ki la ro'i la'avor bo yuchal ha'adam le'kabel ha'tzchar b'mkomo uzmano. This soul was placed within him. And therefore, it befits the guf with this neshama to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's able to accept to be mekabel schar, bimkomo uzmano, in his place and in his time. Shelo yiyeh davar nimas el nishmaso ba'olam hazeh. There isn't anything that's more despicable to the soul than to utilize and to use this world as a world unto itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a neshama, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the guf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the neshama, who doesn't want to be here, the neshama isn't interested in being in Olam Hazeh. The neshama is a lofty concept, a lofty ideal. A neshama is a chelek elokai nimal. The neshama has within it the soul of Hashem. And now the soul is being asked by God to come into this world. He's forced into this guf. And the soul isn't happy about it. But says the Mesilas Yesharim, the soul becomes content, and the soul starts to enjoy himself when the guf understands that Olam Hazeh is only a means to an end, Olam Haba. Chazal teach us that when the guf and the neshama are in sync, when the guf and the neshama understand that Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba are not shnei olmei hafach, they're not two totally different worlds, but rather they're one world with two different parts. When the guf understands its purpose, when Olam Hazeh understands its function is only an entryway into Olam Haba, then the entire world becomes kafuf. The entire world, the entire physical world becomes kafuf, bows and acquiesces to the demands of the neguf with the neshama. L'mashal, let me explain. Yaakov Avinu slept. He hadn't slept for all those years that he was in the Beis Medrash Hashem Ve'ever, until finally he lays down. Vayosem Sesham Miroshosav. He put his head down on those rocks. And Chazal teach us something very interesting. Chazal tells us that there were 12 rocks. And each of those rocks wanted that this tzaddik should lie his head on that rock. The first rock said, no, I want Yaakov Avinu. The second rock said, I want Yaakov Avinu. Until finally, all the rocks wanted Yaakov. There was a pshara that they became, says Chazal, they became one rock. How do we understand that? What does that mean? Why were they interested? Because when a guf and a neshama come together and understand that it's not two different worlds, but it's one world, Mamela, the entire Olam Hazeh wants a connection. Every part of this world wants a connection to Olam Haba, wants a connection to spirituality. It raises the entire level of Olam Hazeh. The entire Olam Hagashmi becomes a spiritual world. That's what it means, Or Lagoyim. The entire world becomes uplifted by the Yid who's connected to an Olam HaNitzchi that's connected to a world of eternity. That's why when a Chacham comes and makes a decree, everyone wonders, how is it possible that Rabbi Yaakov, that Chaim Kanievsky says something and it comes true? How is it possible that when we go to great tzaddikim, there's a kiyum, there's a fulfillment to their words? How is it possible? The answer is, they're not prophets. They're perhaps not even involved in Kabbalah. They're not Kabbalists. The answer is, is that when a Talmud Chacham, when a Tzaddik, a person whose neshama is supreme over his guf, that they're working in tandem and have made this world a world of eternity, the entire Olam Hazeh, the entire world of Gashmi, the entire physical world becomes kafuf, acquiesces to the demands of a Tzaddik. And therefore, when a Tzaddik comes and says something, the entire world wants to be the one to give in to that tzaddik. And that's pshat, I believe, a chacham is adav min navi. That's why a chacham is greater than a prophet. Because a navi is told what's going to happen in the future. But a chacham dictates what's going to happen in the future. Because a chacham has the ability of making sure that the entire Olam HaGashmi is kafuf, gives in to that person. B'chaye Olam, in this world, we are building and planting already for Olam Haba. And I mentioned to some of my students an interaction that I had had with a very, very chashuv yid, a very, very inspiring Jew. So I was preparing for this shiur, and I happened to turn around and I saw a sefer by the name of Lev Aharon. And I truly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a special siyata d'shmaya when preparing a shir. There are times that I look in a sefer, I never see anything. Nothing makes sense. And then I happen to be speaking about a certain topic, and I open up the same sefer and look into the same pshat, into the same pasuk, and oh my gosh, that's an unbelievable pshat, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up your eyes. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Pokeach Ivrim. He opens up our eyes. So I was preparing the shir, and I turned around and I saw the Sefer Lev Aharon. And I opened it up and I saw a beautiful, beautiful pshat. So I called the Mechaber of the Sefer. The Mechaber of the Sefer is none other than the Satmar Rebbe. Rebbe Aharon Teitelbaum, who lives in Kiryas Joel. And I called him, to let him know that the pshat that I saw in his sefer was absolutely fantastic, but B, also to inquire how he's feeling. After all, the Satmar Rebbe and his Rebbetzin, they both contracted COVID-19. So it was about 11:45, 12 o'clock at night, which means they're probably finishing mincha at that time, so it wasn't too late. I called up the Rebbe's Gabbai, Reb Shia Mendelovich, and we were schmoozing a little bit, and I told him that I had read the Rebbe's Sefer and Pirkei Avos, and I loved the pshat, and I wanted to see how the Rebbe's doing. Is it possible if I can speak to the Rebbe? So we said, I'm actually not by the Rebbe. I said, is everything okay? He says, something terrible happened to me just yesterday. So I said, what is it? Did you contract the virus? Are you feeling okay? He says, I'm feeling okay, but my son passed away yesterday from COVID-19. He died from the virus, this terrible, terrible magefa. So I was absolutely, I was dumbfounded what to say. I was floored, and I said, I'm so sorry. And this great, great tzaddik, he says, don't be sorry, because we all know that tzaddikim afilu b'misasam, that the righteous, even in death, are called chayim, are called life. How do we understand that? Tzaddikim afilu b'misasam nikruhu chayehem. The answer is Rabosai. V'chaye olam nata b'sochenu. That we in Olam Hazem are implanting eternal life within us. Whenever someone is engaged in Torah and mitzvos, He's already building for the future. He's ensuring himself eternal life, a life of perpetuity. He never dies. He's constantly living. That's the greatest investment. The wise ones were the ones who prepare for the future, who prepare when times aren't going to be so great, like the great Yosef HaTzadik. He prepared in advance when there would be a famine in the world, because Yosef HaTzadik understood this idea, v'chaye olam nata bisochenu, that life is about planting a life of eternity. Tzadikim afilu bibisasam arnikru chayeyem, that the righteous, even in death, remain alive. Because the neshama is eternal. The neshama endures. We believe that there is an olam hazeh, but there's also an olam haba. When we do mitzvos and we learn Torah, we're already building our retirement home in the world of eternity. It's an amazing concept. It's an amazing idea, but very, very difficult to digest. Because we all know that the Mishnah in Avos teaches us, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, Al Tiyu Ka'avodim HaMishamshimin as Harav, don't be like that Eved, like that servant that serves his master, Al Minas L'Kabel Pras, on condition to accept or to receive payment, but be like that Eved that is Mishamish Harav, Shelo Al Minas L'Kabel Pras, as to not serve him to receive reward. So it comes along Tosfos and says, how do we understand then the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Dalet? The Gemara tells us, Desanya, we learned in a Brisa. Ha'omer selazul etztaka. If a person says that I'm designating this sela for tzedakah, bishvil sheyichya bini, so that my son will live, ubishvil sheizakya bo l'chayi olam haba, or that I should merit olam haba, hareze tzadik gomor. He's a tzadik gomor. This seems to suggest, this brisa seems to suggest that a person who serves for his share in the world to come, he's a tzaddik gomor. This seems to be aligned to what we've been talking about, building this world of eternity. But yet the Mishnah and others tells us, don't be like that person that's Mishamish the Rav Almanas the Kabbalah Press. Well, which one is it? Are we in Olam Hazeh to build for Olam Haba? Or we shouldn't be that person. Rather, we should be that person that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Avas Hashem. And we know that the Rambam himself tells us that there are different dargas, there are different levels. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, Hilchos Tshuva, the 10th chapter, the first halacha. Al yomer adam, a person shouldn't say, Areni osei mitzvos ha-Torah v'osei b'chachmasa. A person should not say that I'm going to be osei in mitzvos and learning Torah. Kedei she'ekabel kol ha-brachos, that I shouldn't be that person that's mekabel all the brachos, ha-ksubos ba, or kedei she'ezakeh, or that I should merit olam haba. One shouldn't serve Hashem like that, because that's not the milos hanaviim, below milos chachamim. But rather, he says that one should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ava, out of love. So what is it going to be? Is it going to be that we're supposed to be thoughtful of Olam Haba in this world, or we shouldn't be thoughtful of Olam Haba in this world at all, but rather we just focus on Olam Hazeh and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Sama Rebbe, he explains it beautifully by quoting the words of the Yitav Lev. He says that one that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to be mekabel pras, even to receive payment, is still called an Obed Hashem. He still can be referred to as a totally righteous person, as a tzaddik gomor. Why? Because the Gemara Meseches Makos tells us, Bochaboko Chaboko came, and he encapsulated the entire Torah with one idea, one theme. Betzadik be'emunaso yichya. That a tzadik be'emunaso, he lives with his emunah b'Hashem. And therefore, says the Yitav Lev, vibalt, since this person, he's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the expectation that he's going to be rewarded, that's a tzaddik, because he believes in Schar Va'onesh. He believes that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's going to give reward and dispense punishment. That's a tzaddik. Someone who lives be'emunah, who believes in Hashem, that's a tzaddik gomor. And therefore, says the Rebbe, the Manda Amar in Pirkei Avos that says, Al tiyu kavadim hamisham shemin, don't be like that Eved, that servant, that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu to receive payment. He should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he wants to develop a relationship with Hashem. That's the Jew that lived in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. He saw Hashem b'chush. He saw the awesomeness of God. He wasn't relying upon emunah. An amazing, amazing idea. I want to just stop this for a second. I'm reminded of a question that Rav Shach asked the Brisker Rav. The Rambam comes in two different places, and he explains that there's an idea between Emunas Hashem and Yedias Hashem. So which one is it? Are we supposed to know Hashem and focus on Yedias Hashem? Or are we supposed to focus on Emunas Hashem? So Rav Shach asked this question to the Brisker Rav, to Rav Elul Soloveitchik, and Rav Elul said that this is a brilliant question that I asked to my father, and he explained it like this. He said that one is obligated to focus on Yedias Hashem. You have to know Hashem. You have to learn His Torah. That's the way that we are Yedias Hashem. We have to learn Torah, and that's the way we come to an understanding, to a hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on an intellectual level. But the human mind is limited in its capacity to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's at that moment that you have to turn off the Yedias Hashem cup and then just believe. Take it as a given. We don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. That's Emunah B'Hashem. Two different stages in a person's pursuit towards Hashem. One is Yedias Hashem, and that's how far his mind can take him. But the human mind, however brilliant it is limited. There's always going to be a place that we can't go further. There's always that esoteric Torah that we're never going to understand. And it's at that point that we need to start believing. And of course, that was the problem with Elisha ben Avuya. He didn't accept that there was an emunah. He needed only yedias Hashem. And he became acher. He went off. He was no longer on our derech. He created and forged his own derech, which was antithetical to our Mesorah, our Torah. So says the Rebbe, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was Yediyas Hashem. And therefore, there's no emunah attached to it. You have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you see his godless. You see his awesomeness. But the Braisa that talked about the idea of I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Olam Haba, that was talking about at a time when there was no Beis HaMikdash. And he believed in Olam Haba, because that was the Mesorah, that was the transmission, the tradition being transmitted from Rebbe to Talmud, from father to child. Then you can talk about Olam Haba as much as you want in your tzaddik, because that's a person who believes in the idea of Schar Ba'onesh. His connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on an emotional level. Or should we say an intellectually emotional level, where he was taught through a Mesorah, the Echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're living in a time, just as an aside, I happened to get in touch with the Rebbe tonight. I called the Rebbe tonight, and I told him that it was such a beautiful, beautiful pshat. I loved it. I had such a chias. And the Rebbe, he's got a brilliant memory. He's written dozens of sfarim. He remembered exactly the Yitav Lev. He remembered the Vart. He remembered what partially Yitav Lev was speaking on. Tremendous. And Baruch Hashem, he's doing much better. So I got in touch with the Rebbe tonight, Baruch Hashem. But nonetheless, today we're living in a time where there's no Beis HaMikdash. Our shaychus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Har Sinai, is through the transmission, the Mesorah. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Mesorah Yoshua, Yoshua the Skenu, Skenu Nevi'im, Hashem Nes Agdola. That's our shaychus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah, is the Emunah BaHashem. Our connection, what makes us tzaddikim, is not exclusively our Yediyas HaTorah. It's not simply good enough to be a Yodea Sefer. If I would tell you how many people I've seen in my day that were the best guys in the Rosh Hashiva Shir, only to be a Kofar eating on Yom Kippur today. And all the entire Bachim in the Yeshiva called it. That guy right there who's learning with the Rosh Hashiva, who's brilliant. He's going to be off the derech. Because we're not focusing on the second aspect, the most crucial and important aspect in our continuation as B'nai Torah has to be Yediyas Hashem and Emunah BaHashem. It's so easy when a person looks around the world today and he sees this pandemic and he sees tzaddikim that are dying. Tzadik Duralo, Russia Vitovlo. It's so easy to start questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many questions I feel today? Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can he do such a thing? My son doesn't believe anymore. It's Emunah BaHashem. Because the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai and spent 40 days and 40 nights, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has been there throughout the ages and the centuries is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is listening to our tefillos today. And we're only going to come to a hakara, to an appreciation, if we are mechazek our emuna, the inyane hayom, the topic of today, and I don't mean an hour shir, but in today's time, has to be mechazek our emuna. We have to strengthen our belief. When people come and ask me philosophical questions, I say to them, I don't care about your philosophical questions. All your questions are a pretext because you don't want to put on tefillin. They're all garbage. At the end of the day, to any thinking person, like the Mesilas Yesharim says, you will have to come to a hakara, that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately it's that emuna that allowed Aaron HaKohen to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the holiest day of the year in this week's Parsha. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe after the death of the Bnei Aaron. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, daber al Aaron Achicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, speak to Aaron, your brother. Let him know when he's allowed to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when he's not allowed to. And then the Pasuk tells us, Bizos Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. With this, Bizos, with this shall Aaron come into the Kodesh. What does that mean, Bizos, with this Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh? I want to tell you that the word Bizos, with this, is referring to the emuna shalema that Aaron HaKohen had in the aftermath of Nadav and Abihu's death. Vayidom Aaron, he didn't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I do so much for you. Look at everything I've done for you. I've been an Eved Hashem. These boys were tzaddikim. The Gemara tells us that they're Gedolei Hador. They were supposed to take over for Aaron and Moshe. How can you have done this to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why would you take away my children? Vayidom Aaron. Aaron is quiet. And I want to tell you, Bizos Yavo Aaron. With this, it was because he was a Maimon Bashem. It was because he didn't question HaKadosh Baruch Hu's motivation. He didn't ask, why would you do this to me, Hashem? Bizos Yavo Aaron. With this, Aaron was able to come close to Hashem. We know that Zos Chanukah is the eighth day. Why is it called Bezos Chanukah? So Chazal teach us because that's the reading of the Parshios that we read on the eighth day. But we don't find that the day of a holiday is based upon or called upon the reading of the Torah of that given day. I want to say Parsha Zachar, but that's a separate Parsha. So I saw a beautiful pshat. Zos Chanukah, it's the eighth day. Seven is Derech HaTeva. Seven represents natural. It represents mundane, our everyday lives, where we go through our daily lives, thinking, Kochem Ba'otzem Yadi Zachai Lazeh, that we're in control of our destiny. We're the ones who will dictate our futures. We're the ones that are taking all the right courses that will exactly make sure that we end up in this prestigious place and in this job and this. We're in total control. That's seven. That's the 7 days of creation. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos even. But eight represents lamaila min ha-teva. It's above, it's supernatural. It's when you come to appreciate the godliness of Hashem. This is Chanukah. Chanukah is all about recognizing that nothing is teva, that everything is a miracle. That seven is not the story of Chanukah. This, day number eight, is Chanukah. Zos, with this, that's the essence. Bezos Yavo Aaron. I want to tell you, Bezos Yavo Aaron. With this, Aaron was able to enter. It was because of his emunah b'Hashem, not questioning the motivation of Hashem, his HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Nadav and Avihu. That is what entitled Aaron HaKohen to be able to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the holiest day of the year that no one is able to enter, not even Moshe Rabbeinu. Bezos Yavo Aaron. Tzadik be'emunaso yichyeh. We will be defined by our emuna, by our belief in schar va'onesh, that we believe that we are implanting olam haba within us, in even olam hazeh. That we believe in schar va'onesh, that when we do mitzvos, we're building a world for us. We're being dubbed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're building a life of perpetuity, of eternity. That's a tzaddik. Someone who believes in the schar va'onesh, who believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact retribution upon those that don't believe in him and that don't follow his ways. That's a tzaddik. That's the world that we're living in today. Tzaddik be'munaso yichya. One who is omir Hashem with saying, Kashani azakeh b'chay olam haba. That's a righteous person. There's no question about it. We have to continue to shtag. We have to learn. But why are we learning? Yiras cheto kodem lechachmaso. We're learning in order to be davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're learning in order to chaye olam nata besochenu, to implant olam haba even in olam hazeh. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. I guess before I close, does anybody have any questions? I'm opening up the floor for questions. Does anybody have any questions? Any questions on anything we spoke about or anything that's bothering them from a hashkafic point of view? If anybody has any questions, maybe there's a moderator here. He can open him up and he can type questions. If he wants to type questions, it's probably going to be a little complicated to start speaking out. But if anybody wants to type a question, or perhaps there's a better way to do this, if anybody has any questions? Okay, Baruch Hashem. I guess the shir had such an impact that there's no questions. Tzadik be'monaso yichya. Unmute yourself if you have a question from Nativ Rabbi to everyone. What is the avoda of someone who wants to get back on track? Please explain. What does that mean? You mean you're saying when we're just be a little bit more clear. You can unmute yourself if you want to ask that question. And somebody, Cleric Yosef.
Yeah, hi. Sorry.
Not a problem. What's up?
I see. I've spoken to a lot of people, and you know.
Hello? What was that? Yosef, maybe type it because it's not coming through.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. What do you say?
I said that as time has been going on and we've been more separated from yeshiva after Pesach, I can say for myself as well, but also that sheer attendance and things like that and guys being committed, but more, I'm more asking about myself, has been going down. And obviously that's because we're not in an ideal situation in any way, shape, or form. But how do we reinvigorate ourselves to get back that yeshiva inspiration, even when we're locked in?
Okay, first of all, that's an excellent, excellent question. Obviously, everybody is different. But so first of all, a couple of things. First of all, it's very, very important. First and foremost, a person has to set reasonable expectations. The reality is especially based upon the world we're living in today, and we're not able to go to a base medrash. We are at home. There's so many distractions. The reality is that he's not going to be able to maintain the schedule. So to taper expectations and allow us to realize that there are going to be days that we're not going to be perfect or even maybe even really good. So first and foremost is coming to the appreciation that we're not going to be able to maintain a similar schedule. But I always like to say, at the end of the day, let's not, even though we've talked about building for the future, when it comes to the predicament that we're in right now, let's just focus on today. I have a schedule today. when the time comes to come to Eretz Yisrael, so we'll focus on Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, even when I'm in Olam Hazeh, I'm building towards something, but I'm not there. At the end of the day, yes, you're building towards getting back to yeshiva, but ultimately you're here in Olam Hazeh. You're here now, and therefore you set a reasonable expectation and try to maintain it and stick to it. And when you get back to yeshiva, you worry about it then. It's like anything in life. When you get back to yeshiva, somebody asks me, you know, how do I, you know, what's the secret to dieting? Now, I don't know. I'm not good at it. But from what I've been told, is the secret to dieting is just diet. It's just don't eat. When you get back to yeshiva, if you have a hakara that this is MS, it might be difficult at first. How am I going to get up in the morning? You just get up in the morning. So if you understand and you appreciate that getting up in the morning has value, so then you're going to get up in the morning. But now you should minimally set, if you're getting up in the morning early now, it's going to be a lot easier. First and foremost, you want to get up at a reasonable time to daven. You get up at a reasonable time to daven, once you're getting up in the morning, everything else is possible. You have to gradually build up to it. But Amir Hashem, I don't see it being a problem. As long as you're not miyayish, you don't despair that how am I ever going to do it again? And don't have unreasonable expectations that since I'm not doing it again, this is not for me. So when you get back to yeshiva, Amir Hashem, Hashem will give you a special siyat v'shmaya. It's not a concern. I think you'll be all right. Did I answer your question, Yosef, or no?
Yeah, and just another point in terms of scheduling. It seems like because we're limited in going out and doing other things that we're not, the amount of healthy outlets are also limited. Meaning if we want to go hang out with friends, there's none of that. There's no pizza on Motze Shabbos. There's no,
Who says it's healthy?
Meaning
pizza's not healthy. Pizza's, no, you can go out on Motze Shabbos, but pizza's not healthy.
I'm saying a healthy mental outlet, not necessarily a...
Right. Look, this I think that's a whole separate issue. In other words, you know, we've been brought up in a society where our friends are everything. This is I think the best thing, because now you're building yourself up. You have to motivate yourself and you have to keep yourself occupied. I think that, you know, the whole idea of I have to be with my friends and I have to see what's going on. And I have to be this. The one thing that I hate the most, in other words, you know, I tell my son before he goes to bed, I always say to him, talk to Hashem. And I say this to all my children, talk to Hashem. Have a conversation with Hashem. When I was a boy his age, if my brother is, my mother is here, I used to have the window next to my bed. I used to look out and I used to talk to Hashem. So I know this sounds crazy. I came from the Hebrew Academy. I didn't grow up in Cheder going to the Ger Shtibles. You know what I'm saying? This is attainable. You can Hashem. The problem is we're so caught up in friends that's our outlet. Well, now we're forced to reconsider that perhaps it's alone. It's okay to be alone. It's okay to be by myself. The greatest thing, you know, they have this television show called Survivor, where you have to go to an island, a private island. Now, that's a joke because they go with like 10 other people, I think. I actually never saw one of them, but I know that's what it's about. See if you can go on a private island where there's no phone, there's no computer, there's no wallet. It's just you and your thoughts. That's tremendous. Work on that. That should be the what you should. You work on that. I don't mean you. I mean, if one is able to work on that now, you're never going to be bored. You're never going to be worrying, where are my friends? What are they doing? This is an unbelievable opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us to be alone. Just me, my family, me, Hashem, me, my Chumash. Honestly, me or television, I honestly, I just, You don't have to be an outlet. We can redefine our outlets, that it doesn't have to be with friends. It could be just pondering and thinking. One should never feel bored. He could always be lost in his thoughts. That's a darga. That's something that should be worked on during this time. That at the time you get back to yeshiva, you can be able to just come right in. Any other questions? Donnie Lobel, I love seeing you.
Shalom, Rav.
I miss you so much. I miss you, miss you. It's great to see you. You look great.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Excellent questions, guys. Keep it up. Keep on shagging. If anybody has any questions, you all know where to reach me. You'll be able to figure it out.